should be recording it just in case it doesn't. Right. New Comedy Radio again. I've just forgotten to put the mic on. Let's crack on. No, I think that should have picked up. But ahead,
right. I thought you had something else sticking out the end of it last time. So yeah, so I think the differentiation in my mind is right up until the first Edinburgh, which is 1999. We didn't really have ourselves in a stand-up environment, not really. And it was after we'd done that Edinburgh, and we had a successful Edinburgh. We were on the back of the truck, and at that point there, I think we felt there was something which was missing, in that we couldn't really handle a crowd. And I think that was the desire to suddenly get out there and actually start working live. So we started putting ourselves up to do comparing, and I think then we decided we should run a club.
Yeah, but also what happened was we went and we looked at other sketch groups, and then you just go, well, what makes us different? How are we different from any other actor doing sketches? And there are a gazillion of them out there. So what makes us different? And it was our relationship that made us different, and nobody else was doing a double act in the true sense of the word, and there still isn't anybody doing a double act in the true sense of the word, i.e.
nobody was doing themselves in everything. But even at that point, even though we'd made that leap, we'd understood that bit. What we hadn't understood is that the audience needed to know who we were projecting. We felt that we had this relationship that was funny, and people used to say we were funny off stage. As a double act, as it were. But actually moving that onto the stage has taken us all these years, really. But at that point there, we then, I think, spoke to another comic. I think it was Dave Johns. I think he said, well, why don't you run your own club? Because then you get to see what you need is stage time. So we started our own club, and that allowed us to be the compares.
Just for those who don't know, stage time means it's like when you're an actor, you can do a lot of rehearsing. And then when you go on stage, it's ready. With comics, all your rehearsing has to be done on the stage, because it's the audience's reaction that gives you
there's some
guidance as to whether you're being funny or not.
Yeah, weirdly, I think once you have learnt how to handle yourself in a live arena, you can then go back and you can rehearse in a different way. But unless you've actually gone through that process of being in front of a crowd and working, not only, you know, if you're a single, not only are you working with your own timing, you're working with their timing, i.e. the audience's timing. As a double, you've got the incredibly complicated triangle of working with your timing, your partner's timing, and the audience. And I think it took us a number of years to work out that we'd become so successful at comparing, as in working with the crowd, that what we had was a situation where everything was said through them. And if you think about that triangle again, what was happening is I would say something that was a reaction that the audience then made, and then made a comment off that reaction. And you'll find that a lot of acts do this, because to actually talk to each other and allow that reaction to be the audience's reaction to you talking to each other is the hardest thing to do.
And it's hard for an audience, because nowadays there are so few double acts around. It's actually hard for an audience to get into that vibe, because particularly in a stand-up arena, because as a stand-up, you get up there, you're talking to the audience, and you're going, this is what I think, don't you think the same, isn't this funny, this is what I believe, do you believe that, yes we do, isn't it funny? Whereas we're actually talking to each other, and in lots of ways they are getting, they're eavesdropping sometimes on what it is that we're saying. So it's a different listening experience and a different watching experience for the audience, and it can take them a second to get into it, or 10 minutes to get into it.
I always remember reading about the Secret Policeman's Ball that happened, you know, years and years ago.
The first one, when it first started.
It
was a big charity ball that was run, I think started by John Cleese in response to a request for help from Amnesty International. Mm-hmm. And it was the beginning of a lot of comics coming to the forefront.
Indeed, and I think it was John Cleese who worked out that it was impossible for a sketch to follow a stand-up. The stand-up has such a different direct dynamic with the audience that the pitch that the audience get to is too much for a sketch to follow. You literally could not have a single who got the crowd to a level which is that direct contact, and then you know, John Cleese and Michael Palin would go up and do a sketch and they couldn't get the same reaction. It just didn't work. And this is the thing we've struggled with throughout all of the years we've been working in clubs. The atmosphere and the direct energy one person can have with the crowd is very, very complicated to produce with two people and get to the same pitch.
And well, this is because I would just like to qualify that. I think that, you know, it is difficult to follow, but it's because a stand-up ideally has a very intimate relationship with the audience, and they're playing a game, and the audience is part of, they're part of the conversation. Mm. And then a sketch comes in, and the audience is pushed out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And you feel like a bystander to it. Yeah. And I think that's why it's not because innately sketches are difficult to follow. It's that
relationship. No, no, no. It's the environment. In the same way that stand-up is more difficult to portray on the television.
Mm, yes.
Whereas a sketch, because you are removed as an audience when you're watching it on the television.
You know that already,
The stand-up experience, you could watch somebody in a live stand-up situation and it'd be exciting, funny, thrilling, and then you watch that on television
and
it's as flat as a pancake.
The amount of time I've said to people, but they're so good live.
I know, but it is difficult to get it across.
It's the same way as if you're sitting in the back of a huge theatre and the stand-up that you are watching is dealing with something that's happening on the front row. You're sitting at the back of the theatre going, who cares?
I can't see they've got ginger hair.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and weirdly, this challenge for double act is you've got to be able to, A, play the same game as somebody who can play very quickly with somebody very close to them. But you've also got to be able to allow the audience in. Then you've got to go, now it's time for you to watch. Then you've got it to go, okay, now you've watched, you can react. Now we'll come back to you, but then we're going to go back in again. There is so much more to being a double act that's doing material than there is to being a stand-up doing a material on their own. Mm. It's incredibly complicated.
So how did that start to emerge? From the sketches, how did that, what was that?
No, it didn't. I think, for me, I think what happened is we started doing sketches, we decided that there was plenty of people doing sketches, and we thought, you know what makes us different? It's got to be the double act dynamic, which wasn't there for us to watch on the circuit. It just didn't exist. It existed in years gone by, but it wasn't working on the circuit. So we decided to do that. But then then we became very good compares, and then we realised we weren't talking to each other, and then we were talking through the crowd,
right.
Not to each, and both of us doing a very extremely easy, fluid job through the crowd. But if you actually were going to put that on a film, like sitting at the back of the audience, you get nothing from it, because what you want is the reaction between those two people that you're focusing on. So we decided we needed to do that. And, of course, that's a huge leap of faith when you've had that crowd.
It's very difficult to drop the crowd once you've got to know them and you've started playing with them. It's incredibly difficult to drop the crowd.
I've got to bring an act on and we're really having fun.
Yeah, but it's really difficult to, you know, even in that situation when you're bringing someone else on, it's hard to drop the crowd if you're having a nice time, but when you've got to go and drop them completely and talk to each other, it is terrifying,
right?
Because you can't quite let yourself, but if you don't drop them completely and go into and be absorbed in what you're doing, you will lose them. If you keep giving them if you've got a halfway house, you will lose them. So you have to drop them completely.
Really clear.
Yeah.
You're in the conversation.
In the conversation,
watching,
and then not in the conversation. Yes. Yeah. And it's really, it sounds simple, but it's incredibly difficult to do.
The other thing
and to do well.
Yeah. And the other thing that I don't think that you really, you don't put it together in your mind for so many years.
Maybe we're just slow learners.
But is that...
That'll be right, like...
You know, and somebody very close to you who, you know, knows you, has known you for a number of years, will suddenly go, but the audience don't know you the way I do.
Yeah.
And actually you suddenly go, right, and therefore that's a problem. So how can we go, right, okay, physically Lynn and I are very different. I'm smaller, darker, Lynn's tall, blonde. We've got a very good physically different dynamic.
Yeah.
And we know that actually... we're very, very different people. But in some ways, because we both handle ourselves and actually almost have the confidence to just, you know, be, you know, be, we don't need to be together, weirdly. You know, we're both completely at ease on our own. That sometimes you kind of go, well, the audience is trying to work out this dynamic. How can we go, how can we show them who's who?
And also, incredibly, because, particularly when you're comparing, but also in the stand-up environment, you're in and out to the crowd. So it's very difficult to keep the dynamic going. So you end up looking like two mates on stage just having a little laugh, which has been, you know, quite levelled at us quite rightly at times.
And, you know, has kept us in work.
Exactly. But you have to have this dynamic. You have to go which character is which and make those clear distinctions for the audience.
If you want them to get some kind of emotional depth and journey from it. Because ultimately, it's tension and conflict and emotion that people want to feel, and it doesn't matter whether it's music, theatre or comedy. They want an audience want to sit there and go, ah, why didn't I think of that? That's brilliant, that's exactly how I feel. Or, oh, that's excruciatingly embarrassing, I know exactly what it would be to look. Or, oh my God, I have those conversations. And weirdly, you realise that if you want to have a huge effect on a crowd, you've got to take such huge risks and you've got to be so vulnerable and trust each other.
And invest emotionally in it.
Give me an example when that maybe first time you really realised that had happened. Can you think of one where you really took a risk and you didn't?
We've taken lots of risks.
And died horribly.
I think of an example that when it worked. Just to make it clear to those who might be feeling it's a bit abstract.
Okay, well, just recently we did a show in Camden. We did a week at the Camden Festival, and the whole tone of the show, we're going to move it on now, and I think we're almost toying with the idea of calling it Trouble at Mill, because what we've done as we've come through, just as a sheer job, is to stick together. And it's like when things have got tough, whether it be on stage or off stage, we've just shown a united front. Now, that's fine for having a working relationship, but less said, soonest mended is not the fount of all comedy. So, we use this show as a way to actually start off with a sprig of doubt, in that we've set it up that Lynn wants to go back to singing. She wants out. She's sick of me living in the flat. She wants to move on with her life. She's had enough. She's put her time in, but she's had enough. I, lazy little aunt that I am.
This is all based in reality. We've actually gone back to moments that when we shared a flat together, working together. There's been times when we've wanted to give up because it's hard. It's hard work. It'd be much simpler to be a single act than it would be to be a double act. It's incredibly difficult to do the double act.
Yeah.
From a money perspective. And once you know stand-up, once you know how it works, and once you've gone through all of that, and you understand it, and you get it, you realise, fuck me, this would just must be easier to do this on my own.
Yeah.
And once you get to that point, it's a real kind of like revelation. But to go, no, actually, this works so much better.
And having said
it right,
what we have is
we're an example of the risk.
Okay, the risk was in the show. We set it up that it was a it was about Lynn trying to split up with me. I'm answering a slightly different question, because what I'm saying, what I noticed was how you set up a situation where Lynn wants out and I don't want to go out. And we had a line in it where she was like, look, you'll move out, look, you'll enjoy it. And that's like, you know, it'll be fun. And I'm like, you know, I don't like fun. And she's like, you know,
you can do whatever you want.
I don't want to do whatever I want. You know, I want my life mapped out for me, like the Dalai Lama in Leona Lewis. And, but the audience suddenly went, oh my God, she doesn't really want out. And then a little bit later on, we flip it, and I grow in confidence, and then Lynn's going, oh, I don't really want out. But we did it in kind of two slightly different ways, and the audience went, oh,
it literally was, no.
And you suddenly realised that they'd invested in your friendship. Now, that's a purely theatrical device, and we use that. As far as risk is concerned, I think sometimes, maybe the risk comes when sometimes we've had a heckler, and I'm thinking of a time when, you know, Lynn's had a good shout at them and she's got angry, and then maybe I've turned round and gone, I don't know, I think he's right, to be honest with you. And it's being divisive when automatically the crowd go, oh, we've upset them. And then you go, oh no, we've upset her. But she's going, ah, to be honest, she deserves it, you know. And you and that's at the point when they're not sure either. And we've kind of had that occasionally where Lynn's been getting really mad and I've been in the background making faces and making her look stupid.
It's but good cop, bad cop. It's good cop thing works very, very well.
And you've got to rise with it, yeah.
Because we can tell it off, but it doesn't. And they'll go, oh, but then...
But the risk is Lynn really is angry.
Oh, yeah, that happens occasionally.
And then it's like, what do I do in that point there? Do I actually then, you know...
Back her up.
Do I back her up? Or do I become divisive?
She cuts me adrift.
And the thing is, actually, the bravest thing to do is cut her adrift. Because then they go, all right. Actually, because weirdly, if you've got two people standing up to a crowd, they go, yeah, that's because they're just not, you know, they're not brave enough to do it on their own. But if you've got one person who's having a go and the other person is also having a go, it shifts the dynamic.
Yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? It is, once you've done it a few times, it's the first time.
It is.
It's the time to the spirit. I mean, I remember we did Leicester Jonglers once, and literally we got up there, and the hail of abuse as soon as we got up there.
Oh, we hadn't even spoken.
And also as well, Lynn turned round to say hello, and she looked at me, and I'm already giggling. And she's looking at me as if to go, what on earth? And I'm going... He's just, and I'm twittering on, we haven't even said hello, and I'm kind of laughing at myself, because as I've stepped on stage, I've heard somebody go, oh God, women. And the experience comes from going, all right, this is going to be fun, rather than,
you do have to take it on board as fun. And that takes a while to get through that, but once you do, you actually... almost welcome the you can allow time as well. If you allow time before you respond, it gives you a chance to think. Obviously, you repeat the heckle, it gives you more chance to think, but they can understand exactly what has been said. And the longer you leave it, the more tension you build, that when you do put them down or do whatever response it is you decided to do, it relieves the tension even more. You get the bigger laugh. But as a double act, it's quite good. We've got so used to it now. You just kind of got. I mean, we did one gig one night. We got out there. It was when we used to open with a song, which we don't do anymore. But we'd gone out there to do a set. It was up the creek in Maidstone, which was rough as you like. And went out and we did this song. And normally, you know what it's like. You go on stage, you do a song, people clap afterwards, even if they don't like it. Nothing. Not silent. Yes.
Yeah.
And we put the mic stands back. Sally looked at me. I looked at her. We both laughed, and she went, "Strap in." And that was the start of a fight that went on for longer than we were supposed to be.
We did 25 minutes of trading insults with a bunch of builders, who at one point, I swear to God, thought I was psychic, because I not only pinpointed the fact that they were builders, they had a white van, and I worked out which one's that in the middle. It was just, you know, and you just
guess.
You know, and you just guess. You just go, well...
It was so predictable.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the crowd actually loved it. The 50 builders hated us, but the rest of the crowd, by that point, they all came on side, and they were cheering and shouting for more. And it was ridiculous, because I actually said on stage, look, I can't believe I'm being paid money to stand up here and have a fight. But we got mobbed afterwards. They were literally... They want... And I said... Came off and I went, do you know what? You could actually devise an act where you literally just go on and have a fight with the crowd and just are armed with lots of heckles. And we wrote a load of heckle lines that night on the spot and came off and went, what did I say there? And we wrote them down because we just made up stuff. We just made up things because it was a pure battle and I will not.
Lynn, to be honest, Lynn loves a good fight. I don't think it's what I got into comedy for.
Neither do I. But I am not going to back down.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way I'd back down. Absolutely no way.
Well, it's one of the things I was going to say.
Saying that now, mind you, I guess there have been times where you go, do you know what, fuck you, because we've been in that situation so many times that you do go, I've done this before and I'm bored.
Well, it's funny because to begin with, you get a really tough room and you go, if we don't conquer this, we are a bad act. And I have to be honest with you, we've got to the point now. Well, you know, you do. And then you get to the point now, if the room is unplayable,
we'd walk.
We haven't yet, no. But I would now.
Time for we used to go to gigs and we'd see acts who've been around for quite a number of years who would turn up and go, well, this is unplayable. And you go, yes, we know, but we've tried this before. And they go, no, I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. It's not playable. And you go, oh, what are the promoters say? Oh, my gosh. Oh, like that.
And you kind of go, how did I get to the point where I'd go, this is unplayable?
And literally you would go, yes. I mean, we did after 5-10 minutes, just went, you know what, forget it, and just went, yeah, it's good. You know, because you do get to that stage because you've got bored.
Because it doesn't matter what kind of theatre it is, and comedy is theatre. It needs parameters. When every single parameter, every different little part of the jigsaw, when all of it
doesn't fit.
You know you're on a hike to nothing. And then all you're doing is diminishing yourself by just trying to take part in the exercise.
But for years, when we first started, we would try and make it work, and because there was no way, we thought we'd be dreadful if we didn't do the job and we didn't, you know. But you do get to that point, and I guess that's...
But also there's layers of success, isn't there? There's sort of success in Unplayable where you've just stood there and got through your tier and nobody's paying the attention. The next level is that they may stop fighting a little bit.
Yes.
And then there's the one where they're sitting down and paying attention. And you sort of have these different layers.
You do.
But you just sort of go, oh, actually, do you know what? I've done all my layers.
Yeah, exactly. That's
but there's certain things you do, and you have to do your time. No matter what's going on, you've got to do your time. And otherwise you don't get paid. And... You know, particularly bigger clubs like Jonglers and the Comedy Store and places like that. You're expected to do your time. You do your time, no matter what is happening. You do your time, and that's fair enough. There's one night we did Jonglers Ball, which was hilarious. And I remember Junior Simpson coming off stage and going, "We went. How was it?" He went, "I feel like I've been in Vietnam." It was really bad. And we went on, and we basically had 20 minutes of indifference, and. At the end, I said to Sally, well, what do you want to do now? And we looked at our watches, and I said to her on stage, what do you want to do now? I said, should we do a song? And she went, yeah, do what you like, nobody's listening. But at least you've got each other to talk to.
And did they respond?
No. But the show manager loved it.
I mean, we thought, God, we're going to get a call the next day saying what the hell happened.
Didn't know. But to be fair, they didn't have enough bouncers to chuck people out that night. It was just a bit of a dodgy one. But
that's years ago.
The hardest thing is a quiet, subdued crowd. Small, who do not want to engage, who literally believe it is exactly like the telly, and they won't even give you eye contact. Now, that is a challenge. Because
sometimes I think when they decide to do comedy in a restaurant, everyone's come for a nice meal and a chat, and you're sitting up there going, hey, guess where I come from?
Yeah.
Not that I do that anymore, but
yeah.
Yeah, that complete, like...
Well, that's when... that's
when you go, this is unplayable. I'm going home and keep 75.
But a room that is... a room in theory that should work, i.e. the people have paid, they're sitting down... There's a stage, there's light, they're looking at you, and they're quiet. And they are almost painfully shy. That's when your level of focus has got to be at a point which I think few new acts ever understand. I think if they play a gig like that and they get it right, they don't know what they've done. Because they just happen to have fallen in the right spot. But if you are an established act and you hit that, to be able to calm yourself and get into the level of focus where you're almost going, okay, well, the game you want to play is that you're watching the telly. The game we need to play is that we're on the telly. That's the only way it'll work. But it's incredibly difficult because 9 times out of 10, what you expect is that interaction in a live gig. And if you don't get it and you can't think fast enough to go, okay, what we need to do is calm down and get intimate, and then they'll come to us eventually, you are stuffed.
And you only learn it by...
You only learn
it. Well, I wish we'd had somebody to tell us how to do it. But we discovered how to do it as you go along. Because, you know, you learn, obviously, by mistake.
Yeah, you do.
But, you know, you can try, particularly when you can compare, and we can compare fairly competently, you try to get stuff out of them. You try, because you'll be doing a bit of material, but because they're being so quiet, I'm used to drop the material and go to them and then try to get them involved in some way. And we say that now, and yet, I swear to God, we'll see acts that you would be surprised. We've been going 15 years, and you see them still doing that when the crowd are a little bit quiet. And they will drop that, and you go, no, just do your material, because they'll come to you.
Yeah.
And yet, it's easy to say and it's easy to see. It's incredibly difficult to do.
Because it's where the courage comes in.
Well, it's about stealing yourself.
People talk about comics having courage. Once you've gone up there a few times, you just go, whatever. The courage is to shut the fuck up and
do it.
Everybody's staring in total silence.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? The courage, and if it is courage, it's joined with something else, which is art, and that is your choices. I'd say the mark of a great performer of any ilk, be it an actor, a musician, a comic. It is the mark of your choices at any given moment that make you the world leader, the professional in the field, because you always have more than two or three. You can always go more than two or three ways. And yes, it becomes intuitive because all the experience builds up and you ultimately go, I'm not going to do that because I know what this feels like and we're not going there again. But, you know, again, I'm sort of talking like, you know, I understand what's going on in my head, but Lynn and I have to get into the level of rapport where we both, not only do we make the right choice, we make the same one.
Well, so then the quick mistake before going, leave the anger thing behind. One of my least favourite things in double acts, and it's often females, but men do it as well, is in the early stages they do faux anger between each other to create tension. It is one of the things that makes my toes curl.
We've never done that, funnily enough.
I'm really fed up with you. Why? And you get this non-interaction based on this pretend anger. I don't know why double acts fall into.
We've never done that. We don't actually do that kind of anger thing in what we do anyway.
No,
you know,
it's genuine. When somebody says you off, you go.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm talking about anger with the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yes.
God, yes. Yeah. Oh, she's turned.
And actually, I mean, there are times when, you know, it doesn't happen very often. There's only been once or twice that it's happened where it's actually been incredibly unfunny because I have really lost my temper. If you really lose your temper with the crowd, you've lost. You know, if you really lose your temper with anybody, you've lost. And there are times, hormonal times, whatever it might be, where I've got less tolerance. And if somebody is saying heinous and horrible things, you have to.
And it was the first.
I mean, Rob Rouse has got the loveliest way of saying it.
He has.
You know, it's like, oh, let's go out there because you go there and bunch of cunts, whatever. You know, sometimes that they're being horrible. And he'll go, let's just go out there and any lovely, lovely madness or something that they want.
Any madness that they've got to contribute can only make it better.
So, and it's a really, and that is part of it. You know, you have to, if you accept.
Yeah, you've got to keep accepting.
You have to keep accepting. It's an improvisational thing as well, which you learn to accept.
But the hard thing about being a double act is it does need tension. You need, it's like dance space. It's like a dance rigidity.
Let's move on to the next section, which actually I think we'll stop, because I think we've done a wee bit there, and we'll do that on the next part, is building tension with the double act, part 27.
Are you going to do that with us and teach us how?
Yes. That would be good. A bit.